With that said, let's move forward. We are on our last installment today of What Forgiveness Is Not. I know this has been a long series for some of us. That's okay. The Lord works through some things like this. This is the last one, the fourth installment of What Forgiveness Is Not. And just to give you some time to look for it, we are coming from the book of Matthew. Today we'll be coming from the book of Matthew. That is the first book in the New Testament. If you don't know where that is, you go into your table of contents and you go to the New Testament section. You will see Matthew. Turn to that page number, and then once you get to Matthew, you are going to be coming from the 18th chapter. Meanwhile, I will give a quick recap of all of the sermons. Again, you will find them online on our website, sjbcla.org/sermons. That means go to the sermons page, you'll find them. Or you can go on our streaming platforms, Spotify, YouTube Music, Apple Music, etc., etc. So, what has happened in this series? The first installment we talked about was forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not forgetting. And the question we asked was, according to the Bible, how do we forgive and forget? You know, that's what we keep hearing, right? We got to forgive and forget. How do you do that according to the Bible? And it turns out, the Bible don't say that. We don't forgive and forget. We forgive and move forward. And then, how do we forgive and move forward? And the answer to that we came up with was, we remember the bigger picture. I tried to end with this statement that it's okay to remember what you buried as long as you remember that it's buried. You outlived it, so don't die with it. Then the following week, we talked about how forgiveness is not accepting. Some of us were saying that, forgiving makes me feel like a doormat. How can we forgive without feeling like a doormat? And we went through a lot of things and settled on the answer to remember that you have boundaries. And then we tried to end it by saying, don't let their behavior affect your boundaries. But more importantly, don't let your behavior affect them either. Then last week we talked about forgiveness is not trusting. And the question we had was, how are forgiveness and trust related? How are they related? Again, we're going to be coming from Matthew 18 in a minute. How are forgiveness and trust related? The answer was, when you forgive well, you will know how to trust well. And surprise, surprise, even God has boundaries for those he forgives. And so we ended by saying, forgiveness is free. Trust is earned. Don't confuse the two. And so today, again, is the last installment of What Forgiveness Is Not. And we are coming from the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter, and the 31st through 33rd verse. Now, we're going to be coming from a little bit more than that. You will see as I go through it. But in the interest of time, we're going to move forward. Book of Matthew, 18th chapter, 31st through 33rd verses out of the Christian Standard Bible version. And this is Jesus speaking a parable. We're in the middle of the parable. Verse 31 reads as follows. It says, when the other servants saw what had taken place, they were deeply distressed and went and reported to their master everything that had happened. Then, after he had summoned him, his master said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? The last installment of this. And it should say number four. Forgiveness is not detaching. Oh boy. Forgiveness is not detaching. You may be seated. The Lord is interesting because I wish I could tell you I'm always right 100% of the time. But when I first started thinking about this sermon, I was actually thinking I would preach the complete opposite. That in order to forgive, that you need to detach. You know, what do you mean by detach? Well, we know that attach, A-T-T-A-C-H, attach is to join together, right? And detach is the opposite, is to, you know, split away, to separate away, to take off. And I thought, like so many others, that if you're going to forgive, you need to detach your feelings away from the situation. And that's what I was going to preach about. I was going to go in on it too. And then the Lord had to teach me something different. The issue with detaching, and we're going to find out, is that instead of being a good way to forgive, it's actually a horrible way to forgive. Again, this I'm just sharing what I learned, all right? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Why is detaching, you know, getting your feelings out of the situation? You hurt me, but you know what? Fine, I'm just going to forgive you because I'm supposed to forgive you. Why is that a bad way to forgive? That's what we're going to talk about today. Why is detaching our feelings from the situation? Why is trying to set aside our how much we don't dislike somebody? Why is that a bad way to forgive somebody? And Jesus addresses this in the parable in Matthew 18, verses 23 through 35. Now, I understand many of us have read the parable of the unjust servant, but some of us have not. And so what I'm going to do is just read through the parable first, and so we can get what the parable says first. And then we're about to go in a little deeper. So the book of Matthew, 18th chapter, 23rd verse, starting at the 23rd verse, this is Jesus talking. I strongly advise you find this in your own Bible. The book of Matthew, 18th chapter, 23rd verse, it reads as follows. This is Jesus talking. He says, "For this reason," some of your versions say, "Therefore, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle accounts, one who owed 10,000 talents was brought before him." Now, again, we're, you know, 21st century Americans. What in the world is that? 10,000 talents. Let's just say this. One talent was 20 years of an average laborer's work. One talent. Multiply that by 10 talents. And again, it depends on where you are and you know, the state you're in, all of that. But we have estimates of over $10 million. Way over. In fact, depending on if you're talking about just a regular a base worker, or if you're talking about like an office employee, people could even read that into the trillions of dollars. But even if it was 10 million or 50 million, 100 million, whatever the amount was, you can't pay that off on minimum wage. There's no way. And this 10,000 talents, and again, just you know, for y'all scholars out there, the reason why Jesus chose this number 10,000 was because those 10,000 and then talents, those were the largest numbers. 10,000 was the largest number in the language that Jesus could think of, and a talent was the greatest unit of money that anybody could think of. So even though, you know, we could try to do the calculations and you know, try to figure out exactly how much it was, to most of us, it would sound like a zillion bajillion dollars, which is what the effect that Jesus was going for. One who owed a jabillion zillion dollars was brought before him. So this slave owes him a whole lot of money. 25. Since he did not have the money to pay it back. I mean, who would? That's more than most countries. Since he did not have the money to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. Verse 26. At this, the servant fell face down before him and said, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything." Now, some of us are like, really? You really going to pay off $100 million? You really going to do that? And most people reading the story or listening to the story would expect that the master would do what? Do what he said he was going to do. Sell him off. Sell his the family off. Verse 27, then the master of the servant, of that servant, had what? Compassion. Released him and forgave him the loan. Story doesn't end there. Verse 28, that servant, the one that got forgiven, that servant that could never pay off his debt, that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Again, what does that translate to? That's about 100 days' wages. So some of us might save somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000. Now, that's a lot of money. But it ain't no bazillion, jillion dollars. 15 grand is a bit of money. And if you don't think it's a bit of money, once again, I'd like to speak with you after the service. But it's not what it was, right? It's not that 100 million. He owed him 100 denarii. What did the servant do? He grabbed him, started choking him, oh Lord, and said, "Pay what you owe." Verse 29, at this, the fellow servant fell down and began begging him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." Sound familiar? Verse 30, but he wasn't willing. Instead, he went and threw him into prison until he could pay what was owed. When the other servants saw what had taken place, they were deeply distressed and went and reported to their master everything that had happened. 32, then after he had summoned him, his master said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And because he was angry, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. All the zillion bajillion dollars. Why is Jesus telling the story? Verse 35. so also my heavenly Father will do to you. Unless every one of you forgives his brother or sister from your heart. I guarantee you that message did not get amens. There was not a lot of people telling Jesus, thank you, Jesus. What's the point of the story? To sum it up, God forgave us of an unpayable debt. And because of that, we must forgive others. This is what Jesus is saying. God has taken care of your sin. You could never repay it. And because God has done this for you, and by the way, yes, I'm talking to Christians. Because God has taken away your sin, you must forgive others. You must. You know, I heard it said one way, forgiveness is a choice, but it is not an option. You must decide to forgive, but you really don't have a choice, according to the Lord. You've got to forgive. So that's the point. And some of us, you know, that's the word that we needed today. We're ready to go home. But there's more. Some of us see this and we read this and we understand it intellectually, but it's still hard to forgive. Some of us might say, it's too hard. I get what Jesus is saying, but forgiving them is too hard. I mean, do you know what they did to me? I'm still feeling it. I'm still taking medication. I'm still in therapy. And I'm just supposed to forgive? Because I'm supposed to? That is hard to do. And I say this because I know it is extremely difficult to detach your emotions from what happened. Because that's what it seems like Jesus is asking, right? It seems like Jesus is saying, I don't care what they did to you, you need to forgive them. I don't care what your feelings are, you need to forgive them. That's what we think that Jesus is saying. And that's hard to do because when you're still upset at somebody, when they still did you wrong, were doing you wrong, when they're still affected, when you have people that you love that are affected, it is hard to just say, I'm going to put my feelings aside, I'm going to detach them, and I'm going to just forgive you. That is hard stuff. That is extremely hard to do. And what the Lord showed me, because I was going to preach it another way, the opposite way, the wrong way. What the Lord showed me is that detachment is not the answer to the problem. Actually, detachment is the problem. Oh. You might want to turn this off if you don't want to be responsible for what you hear next. How is detachment the problem? Y'all still got your Bibles open, right? Let's get back to Matthew 18, 23. It says, how does it start? It says what? For this reason, or some versions say, therefore. Now, what's the Bible trick I'm going to remind you of? Whenever you see a therefore, always ask, what is the therefore there for? Why put this there? For what reason, Jesus? For what reason are you telling me to do all of this? Jump back a couple of verses. Let's see what was actually happening that prompted the story. One of his disciples, Peter, verse 21. Then Peter approached him. Again, Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter approached him and asked, Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? As many as what? Seven times? You know, in that culture, Peter was being extra because, you know, the common thought then was you can forgive somebody three times, and then that's it, right? Because of some spiritual reason. Peter's thinking, I'm gonna go above and beyond, Jesus. Seven times. I'll forgive somebody seven times. And watch what Jesus responds. He says, verse 22, I tell you, not as many as seven, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Some verses might say 77. Whole lot of times. What is Jesus saying? Is he giving a number? Whether it's 77 or 490, is he actually giving a number that they need to strive to? No. Jesus is saying, you just keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. Do not put a number to it. For this reason, he told the parable. Let me tell you this. Peter wanted a logical answer, and Jesus gave an illogical answer. That's just how Jesus works, right? We want him to answer us a certain way, A, B, or C, and he's like, one. Peter wanted a rule. What is the rule? What can I write down and say, this is how many times I got to do this? What Jesus was saying is that forgiveness is not a matter of rules. It's a matter of the heart. That's a problem. Because especially in that day, the way they understood the heart was the seat of emotions. Oh, what are you getting at? Forgiveness is not detached from emotions. Actually, have y'all noticed that this story is full of emotions? Did you catch that? Let's look at it again. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Very logical, right? Those of you that have ever worked in accounting, that is one of the most logical fields of all time. It is numbers. It ain't no feelings in accounting. It's numbers. Logical. 24, when he began to settle accounts, one who owed a billion, jabillion, zillion dollars was brought before him. Since he did not have the money to pay it back, his master commanded that he and his family and everything that he had to be sold. Even though he wasn't going to recoup all of it, we're going to sell all of it. At this, remember, this is all logical so far, right? You owe something, you can't pay it, oh well, life sucks. Move forward. 26, at this, the servant fell face down. Okay, here's some emotion. The servant fell face down before him and said, be patient with me. Patience is not logical. And I will pay you everything. Again, really? 27, then the master of that servant did what? Had compassion, released him, and did the most illogical thing, which is forgive him the loan. Whole lot of emotion here. Whole lot of emotion involved in forgiveness. Verse 28, that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him about 15 grand, price of a used Honda. the servant ran up on him and said, give me what you owe. Give me what you owe. Pay me back. Verse 29. At this, the fellow servant, once he got out of the chokehold, fell down and began begging him, a whole lot of emotion, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. Oh, but the servant decides to get logical. I ain't gonna listen to your sob story. I ain't gonna listen to how you say you're gonna pay me back. I'm not gonna do that. You owe me, you ain't paid me, so I'm finna throw you in a prison. That's the law. He wasn't willing. Instead, he went and threw him into prison until he paid what he could pay what was owed. Verse 31, when the other servants saw what had taken place, they were ticked off, emotion, and snitched on him to the master. 32, after he had summoned him, his master said to him, you wicked servant. Now, hold on. Before we keep going, why does the master care? He forgave him. It's over. You know, from a logical perspective, right? It's over. You don't owe me. This is over. It's done. Why are we even talking about what the master wants? It's over. Logically. But there's a whole lot of emotion in this. You wicked servant. I forgave you all that debt because you were so emotional. 33. Shouldn't you also have had mercy? That's certainly not logical. On your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you. And what? Because the master was ticked off, he handed him over to the jailers to be tortured and until he could pay everything. Again, verse 35, so also my heavenly father, my what? Emotional heavenly father. Hello. Will do to you unless everyone forgives his brother or sister from where? From your heart. Oh, Lord. Answer the question. Why is detaching a bad way to forgive? Because when we're talking about what forgiveness is according to the Lord, when we're talking about how Jesus describes what forgiveness is and what is expected of us. Why is detaching a bad way to forgive? Because you cannot forgive from your heart, which logically means you cannot forgive them. What? Hold on. So you mean I can't forgive somebody, so I can't be forgiven? Okay. Or if I try to take my emotion out of it and just say they forgiven, even though I'm kind of ticked off at them, I guess when it's all said and done, I didn't really forgive them. I just said the words. Because I'm still mad at them. Whenever they come through the door, I'm mad. My skin starts crawling. My hair is coming up. Because they hear, but nah, whatever. I ain't saying nothing. I forgave them. Every time their name comes up, I can't stand to hear that name. But you can't say it out loud because you forgave them. Did you really forgive them? We said the words. Matter of fact, we might have, you know, done it a number of times. And we said, we'll forgive them this time. Hello. But if they come against me one more time, did you really forgive them? This is a problem. Because when we start speaking about forgiveness. It is a highly emotional topic. Some of us still can't forgive because of the emotions that are tied to this act of forgiving them. Now, psychologically speaking, our emotions are driven by thoughts, okay? That's just how our brain works. Our thoughts are driven by what we focus on. So when we look at something or we focus on something, it generates thoughts that then generates emotions. That's how we operate as humans. It is what it is. Why am I saying that? Because if you want to change your feelings, you need to change your focus. What do you mean? Instead of the story being about what they did to me, focus on what God did for me. What did God do for you? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth and was born of the Virgin Mary. And he lived for 33 years, did a lot of good things, taught a lot of good things, healed people, fed 5,000, gave sight to the blind, did all these things. But the main thing he did was go and die on a Roman cross for us. He committed no sin, but he was treated as if he were sin on the cross. And he died on that cross for you and for me. And he was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. This Jesus is telling us to forgive, because look at what the King, look at what God has done for you. Some of us are in the positions we have not because of our education, not because of our money, but because God decided to deliver you from the craziness that you caused in your own life. God has done immeasurably more than you can ever ask or think of. He has done so much for you. And when you think about it, the reason God is so good is because we were so bad. But when we forget, we don't forgive. When we forget how bad we really are, how bad we really came from, how much we've offended God, when we forget that, then it's hard to forgive over here. Do you realize that God's love is overflowing? That he has poured out his blessings on you, and it doesn't just have to be money, it doesn't have to be material things. The fact that you have salvation is a big enough blessing. The fact that he continues to soak you in his mercy over and over and over again. Because sometimes we would like to say we just left that sin in the past. Sometimes we sin over and over and over, and we come to God and he forgives us over and over and over. He has been drenching us in his mercy. His love is overflowing. And if we are soaked in his mercy, others should get wet. People that come around you should experience the mercy of God that you have been given. You're overflowing. You didn't just get enough. You got far more than enough. You got more to give. You're never running out of God's blessings. You're never running out of God's grace. You're never running out of his goodness. You can get it out. In the sermon, our emotions are based on what we focus on. And this is why we've got to focus on Jesus. Because when we focus on what that person did. And that's our whole world. Yeah, it's hard to forgive. But when we think about what Jesus did on the cross for us, and it doesn't mean you don't see what they did. We don't believe in hiding, okay? We're not hiding emotions. We're just seeing them in its proper context. When you do that, you'll realize that we cannot be like that wicked servant and only focus on what others did to us. You know, if you're looking at this story, the way I think about it is, you know, you got to look at the beginning of the story, not just the middle of it. What do you mean? Most of us in our lives start in the middle. Someone owed a lot, and the servant couldn't let him go easy. That makes sense. And so, because if you owe somebody, you got to pay up. If they did something to you, they ought to be punished. That's where our view is. And that's what makes this scripture hard, because most of us start in the middle and then read to the end, which said that God punished the servant for not forgiving. How, God, are you going to punish the servant when he owes him 15 grand? How are you going to punish the servant, Lord, when he is in debt? How are you going to punish me, Lord, when you know what they did? How are you going to punish me, Lord? They're the ones in the wrong. Lord, I don't get this. Why are you doing this for me? Why? Because we have not read the beginning of the story. And the beginning says that God forgave the servant of a massive debt he could never repay. And it goes from being a logical story to an illogical one. Again, in the sermon, you don't need to detach your feelings. You just need to feel the right ones. You need to look at Jesus, because if you focus on Jesus, your feelings about everything are going to change. Not just what you say in church, not just the right answers, but how you feel from your heart about people will fundamentally change if your eyes are focused on Jesus. And it does not mean that you never think about the hurt. It does not mean that you detach your feelings. What you realize is that debt that they owed me, that hurt that they caused me, this ain't even a drop of water compared to what I did to Jesus but what Jesus did for me. It ain't even comparable. You don't need to detach your feelings. You just need to feel the right ones. And so I'm ending this series and I'm ending this sermon by saying, if you want to forgive, if you truly want to forgive, read the whole story. The story did not start with what they did to you. The story did not start by the situation you were born into. The story started almost 2,000 years ago by what Jesus did for us. So if you really want to forgive, read the whole story.